Hour number two, Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game here on this Wednesday. We're live at the Circus Sportsbook at the Minta Kentucky Downs here in Franklin, Kentucky. Excited to be here. DVD will be here as well. And we're going to have a regular partnership and be here quite a bit. So I had Derek Stevens on, who's the owner and the CEO of Circa, and was cool to catch up with him. But we love our setup. We have the, if you're watching on the stream, like the sports book is behind us. So we have the odds wall and the big giant TVs. And so they're officially open for business.
The odds wall. All right. Yeah. That's cool. Did you just walk down and place your bet? Is that what you do?
Yeah. They even have the lines up there for week one. So
how do you see that?
Titans are a 7.5 point dog on the road.
What are you, an eagle?
I can barely see it.
You see,
I think like that's a seven.
Oh, man. What do you take right now? Right now, 7 points.
Oh, I lay the points for Denver.
That they win double digits?
I think by 10, maybe two touchdowns.
Okay.
Yeah, no, I don't think the Titans win.
Cover.
So the Patriots are a 3-point favorite at home against the Raiders. So that's interesting.
Again,
I think they beat the crap out of the Raiders because you got Josh McDaniels and Vrabel wants to win his first game.
Again, if you're looking to hire a private eye, hire Chase McCabe because he can see things from 5 miles away with no problem.
No, I Good really Lord. Can't. I really can't. I don't know how I'm seeing this. I think it's the colors.
So. I mean, does that, you know, we had speaking of the Patriots, Hasselbeck saying that Drake May is the real deal. You've built that roster a little bit. You got Landry and a few of the guys come in there. I mean, he's set up for success.
But I mean,
Vrabel,
all you
right?
have to do this year is be the second best team of your division. You're not better than the Bills.
No.
But they're better than the Jets, and they're better than the Dolphins.
Oh, yeah. Poor Dolphins.
So, I mean, you know, you could get a wild card.
I think so. My goodness, yeah. Can you imagine the reaction if he gets them in and,
and the Titans don't?
They move on. I mean, it's
what are
something.
We doing?
What are you doing with your hands?
David in Murfreesboro said Saints fans are excited about Kellen Moore.
No, I'm a closet Saints fan. No, we're not. They're not. He got the job by default. Was he not the last one hired?
Yeah,
I think he was the last head coach hired.
He was kind of like the. It's like, oh, we couldn't get three other people, so we'll go with him.
It's like, what? We need a head coach eventually, right? I had that Kellen Moore guy. Peyton left, Drew Brees left, and they just really account for all that. And now the only kind of thing left there is Kamara. And this will be Kamara's ninth year in the National Football League. Came out in 17. This is his ninth year heading into. So, I don't know. I mean, it's rough. I mean, for the Saints, when they're you don't have a quarterback,
yeah,
there's not really a lot of talent on that team. I mean, so at least the Titans got a bit more talent than the Saints do.
Earlier today, I heard on Next Man Up with Jake Lyman, Dr. Crane was co-hosting, and Connor Newt was producing, and they did their predictions for the college football playoff. And what I thought was interesting is, and tell me if I have this right. Nick, that Jake had Penn State missing the playoff, and you and Connor had them getting beat in their first game, correct?
That is correct.
And ChatGPT had them getting beaten twice, which is something interesting in that. So a theme there of Jimmy Frank either misses the playoff or gets knocked out in the first round, which I think if that happens – his time in Happy Valley might be up.
Well, I don't know about that. I mean, it's a good football team they got there. Connor said they're not making the playoffs?
No, Jake said they're not making the playoffs.
Jake, you're better than that. Penn State is absolutely loaded. And I've predicted an Alabama-Penn State national championship game.
That's what, and Bama wins?
Bama wins, yeah. I mean, I think Penn State could be the team to put it together this year. They are defensive-wise, they're loaded. They got a quarterback. They got a lot of good things on that team that – are right in the Jimmy Franks kind of wheelhouse, and you got to get past the big dogs in the Big Ten. We know that, but you know, if you go 10-2, you get in. Look at Indiana got in last year, that crappy schedule they have. But I think this might be Jimmy Franks' year. I think that's a good football team.
Well, but that's the point. I agree with you. I think they are a good football team. But if they don't, you know, at least make the semifinals, again, it comes down to can he win the big game? And I think that's where the pressure would really be on him.
Because he's like Lane Kiffin.
What's he won?
Lane Kiffin has won nothing.
His biggest win is probably against Ohio State, which was, it's been a while.
Kiffin?
No.
Jimmy Frank. Yeah. They won the Big Ten like a couple years into his.
That was the year they beat.
Tenure.
And they beat Ohio State in a thriller in the regular season.
Yeah. So, there's a lot of talent still there with Ohio State and everybody there. But, I'm telling you, we'd love to see in Alabama. It'd be especially better if the game was played at the Sugar Bowl, reminiscent of the late 70s game down there between Alabama and Penn State. But
his record at Penn State is 101-42.
70% roughly.
Yep. He's and then Vandy, he went 24-15, so he had a winning record.
Say that again.
24-15.
Isn't that crazy?
Yep.
He came in and just for those 3 years, 11, 12, 39 and 13
games,
and it was great. I mean, he just got in that indoor facility and then bounced out. And
what do you think his bowl record overall is?
2-8.
8-7.
8-7.
2-1 at Vandy, 6-6 at Penn State.
Okay.
Lost the Liberty Bowl, won Music City, won the Compass Bowl, won the Pinstripe Bowl, lost Tax Slayer, lost the Rose Bowl, won the Fiesta, lost the Citrus, won the Cotton, didn't make it in 2020, lost the Outback Bowl, won the Rose Bowl, lost the Peach Bowl, and then in the playoff last year, won the first round, won the Fiesta, and lost in the Orange Bowl.
Who did they beat in the Fiesta again? Boise?
That was, 31-14.
Okay, yeah. And that was not even close to the score was.
Lost to Notre Dame in the Orange Bowl.
Okay.
27-24.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. So, I think Penn State's there. And, look, it's going to be the usual suspects, Georgia, Alabama, Ohio State. It's who's going to crack in there to make people feel uncomfortable. Is it South Carolina? Can they capture the magic they had last part?
I just think they're going to come up short.
Well, that's the problem. So many guys leave and go on. It's so hard to compare 24-25. When you do that, it's unfair because so many things – like Middle's got 49 new players.
Yeah.
Was that read that right? No.
No, I thought it was like 60-something.
Something like that, yeah. So, I mean, there's a lot of schools that got all that are going on with these new guys. It's tough to – but if you can keep the guys around and keep them going and keep them happy, re-recruit them. You got to re-recruit them every time. Then you got something.
I think Lenora Sellers could win the Heisman this year, but I don't think they make the playoff.
They came on strong last year and did all that. And now the thing with I feel bad for Arch Manning. I really do. What did Grandpa say?
I don't.
Because he hadn't played this year. Like, he's going to come out next year. He's going to stay next year. He's going to come out next year. He hadn't played one game. We don't know how good this guy could be. We don't know. We'll know next week when they're on the road at Ohio State. And if he comes out and throws a dud, oh, my goodness.
I think one of the surprising teams, and the guys talked about it this morning, could be Texas A&M. Really, you could have three, like Texas Tech, Texas A&M, and Texas all hypothetically have a chance to make the playoff.
I think they might have the most brutal schedule in all of sports.
A&M?
Yep. I mean, it is brutal. If I can find my ampersand and type in Texas A&M schedule. That's the only thing I remember out of high school is the ampersand that went on. But I think A&M, I mean, look, it's the whole thing is with the schedule of run of the gamut.
Right here. All right. UTSA at home, Utah State at home. That's 2-0. At Notre Dame.
Ugh.
Auburn, Mississippi State, Florida, all at home.
Okay.
At Arkansas, at LSU, at Missouri, South Carolina at home, Samford at home, at Texas.
Yep. So Notre Dame out of conference. That's a rough one. Auburn, who knows? Who knows?
Florida, who knows?
Florida, who knows? LSU, who knows, right? But that game, November 22nd, that's the one they got to work out for, though.
Samford.
It's at Samford. The Bulldogs going to roll down there.
The Bulldogs have actually reached out to me and asked that you not acknowledge
They would
them.
Love that very much. And then the last one in Texas. So, like anything else in the SEC, it's pretty brutal. A lot that goes on. So, I don't
Could
know.
Could you imagine a scenario where A&M does make the playoff, as did does Texas, and the way it works out in like the quarters or semis, that it's Texas versus Texas A&M.
I don't think anybody would not like that. Especially people in Texas would love that. Would love to see all that again. I mean, Florida and Florida State played in 96 in the season, then played in the Sugar Bowl for the national championship. So it can happen, and things like that go on. But, I mean, so you look at that. That's the argument. Now, like, you know, Sankey's like, all right, if Texas A&M goes 9-3 in that schedule,
yeah,
Indiana goes 9-3 in their porous Big Ten schedule, do you, I mean, eye test. You take Texas A&M. But it's by the simple eye test you
yeah.
do that.
Yeah.
We're going to have that problem again. And now, who proposed 28-game, 2018?
The Big Ten.
Get out of here, man. What are they doing to football? Stop it.
All right, I want to talk about that coming up next because here, because there's a problem with it. There's a problem that is going to cause all this. 615-737-1025 is our phone and text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Chasing Big Joe, presented by the Omni Nashville Hotel, live at Circa Sports in Kentucky today on 102.5 The Game. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5 The Game on this Wednesday, live at Circa Sports up in Franklin, Kentucky. They are now open for business here at the Mint at Kentucky Downs. Got some games on, baseball right now. Tigers lead the Astros 7-2, and the Pirates, I think, were up as well.
I don't know. I all know it's overcast and miserable in Pittsburgh.
It is. It is indeed. So, so you were bringing up that the Big Ten, you know, is proposing like a 28-team playoff and all this stuff. Here's the problem. Where there's smoke, there's fire. Like, the fact that now this is being pitched, it may not happen immediately, but, like, it's going to happen.
Now you think so?
Never. I think 16's enough, but I mean 12 is fine. Like if they kept it at 12, like
right.
that's fine. But the Big Ten considering 24 or 28 teams, I mean, they're all gonna look. The Big Ten and the SEC are basically running the show here, and they're gonna look at it as, hey, you know, this is an opportunity that we can make more money. There's more revenue. The TV networks will look at it. They'll love it, and it'll happen.
What a joke. What an absolute joke that happens. You're awarding mediocrity.
It'll be like the NFL, and it'll water down the product.
And that's the worst thing that could happen to college football is become like the NFL. The absolute worst thing it could happen, become the NFL. Look, every Saturday used to matter. Now it doesn't. And that's really taken a lot for me to get over because every Saturday meant something. Oh, if you lose now, you lose next week, you still kind of squeeze in. We're just rewarding mediocrity. You go to 26, 28 teams, you are rewarding mediocrity in college football. And there's enough mediocrity in the world right now, you don't need any more. You guys are all happy. Let's expand Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball sucks, all right? There's maybe six good teams, maybe. The 24, 26 other ones aren't good. I'm watching around. They aren't. Look at the standings. Aren't good. We're rewarding mediocrity now, man. You're diluting championships. It's a joke. It's an absolute joke. It's hardly ever earned anymore. It's kind of like, it's more or less, well, they lost, so we're in, and all that other stuff. It's just, I just don't go that way, and then you'll see what happens. Everybody gets in. We all want to get in. Everybody gets in. It's all so happy. I think it's an absolute disaster. If they do that, you've ruined college football. You're damn near close to ruining it now, but you do that.
But the problem is, like, you say that they're close to ruining college football, but people are still going to watch and support college football.
Because people are soft.
It's just they want.
Give me your 24 teams. We can get in there. Yay. It's not earned anymore, man. It's not earned. It's very confusing, and you see the way football was, and it's. For 99%, it was fine, and now they screw with college football and everything else. And all we do is spend our time talking about the NIL. You know, that's it. Very rarely do we talk about on the field what's happening. That's why I'm so excited when games get here. We can actually talk about games, what transpired on the field. Everything defaults back to the NIL. And, you know, it started last year with Nico and Spring and the money that was promised. I mean, it just overshadowed everything, and to a point, it's like, all right, enough is enough. Enough is enough. I'd be more content. I love MTSU. I'd love Cumberland. If they're going to do this, there's other football to watch that goes on instead of all this get 28-team and nonsense.
So I just asked our friends at ChatGPT about a 2018 playoff last year based on, you know, it was the first year of the 12 team. Like, do it at 28.
Good Lord.
So here's what you had. Your first round byes were Michigan, Washington, Texas, Alabama.
Okay. Alabama got in.
Yeah, but not going on the automatic bids with conference championships. So, yeah, Alabama was a top four seed, according to them.
And they didn't even make it last year.
First round matchups. Florida State defeats James Madison, the 28th seed.
Wait,
how does Florida State get in?
They were terrible last year. You sure you didn't put in 1994?
I said 2024. How does Florida State get? No, okay. Never mind. He's lost me on this.
Yeah. You seen that brainwave? Dr. Crane, you saw that. That brainwave study when you use ChatGPT as opposed to using your brain?
Yeah.
Yes, I have seen this, yep.
And it shows how, you're not using the creative part of your brain when you just plug stuff into AI like that. It's kind of sad.
Yeah, you just turn your head into a brain rot.
We're just going to say no to that.
Florida State was, 2-10 last year?
Yeah, I wonder if it took 2023.
Or maybe it took the 2024 preseason poll.
Maybe.
Could be. Yeah, either way.
They started out the season ranked, and they lost to Georgia Tech and Ireland. Is that right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, their season never got back on. It went off the rails in Ireland and never got back on.
Pretty much went off the rails at the Orange Bowl the year before.
Oh, that too.
Oh, my gosh.
When they got left out of the playoff and then got railroaded by Georgia.
A lot of their guys were gone, and that's what happened. That's why some of these bowl games, but still a bowl game. As coaches have told us, there's no such thing as a bad bowl game at all.
What did they say?
There's no such thing as a bad bowl game.
Before that, they said, oh, man.
They said, oh, man. the 2024 ChatGPT. That's the problem. They even, expanded to 28 teams.
Matthew in Nashville says Drinkwitz wants a 30-team playoff.
Well, Drinkwitz ain't getting it.
Here's
the deal. Do you remember this in high school football a couple years ago when all teams made the playoffs?
Yeah.
So 6A teams, like McGavick made it one year, and they were 2-8.
Yeah.
Unacceptable.
Yeah, because of the region.
Because of the region.
They had the two
region wins. What it does, Chase, if you're a coach, hey, I got McGavick to the playoffs in 2020.
Right.
But you were 2-8. I got him to the playoffs.
We got him to the playoffs.
So Drinkwitz,
I think they won a game, too.
So, not that year. So Drinkwitz can do that. So at 30 teams, he gets in. He can say, hey, I got us in the playoffs. Yeah, but you're the 29th ranked team. Got us in the playoffs. Doesn't matter. God, we've become so soft.
It's like saying, I just downed a 32-ounce Jack and Coke, except 30 ounces of that was Coke.
Does people brag about that?
No, but that's just the best analogy I can come up with.
They do that. Oh, my.
Hair Metal Henry says, wasn't Starwood an ampersand?
It sure was, yeah. If you throw left and right-handed, you're called ampersandrius.
Okay. Isn't it ampedestrious or something like that?
Ampedextrous?
What?
Ampedextrous?
Yeah, that one.
It's Amadeus. Yes, it is ambidextrous.
Matt says, I really like the expansion of college football to a 12-team playoff because I wanted to see more of the top teams play each other in a playoff setting. But to go beyond that is absolutely asinine.
Thank you, Matt. I agree.
I think 12 is a good number.
12 is a perfect number to have it. And it took me a while to get used to 12. I'm good with 12. But then 16 next year, is that right?
Not officially.
Okay,
yeah,
good.
I mean, that's what they're all bickering about right now.
Keep it at 12.
How to seed everything. Yeah, I'd keep it at 12 too.
And that's why I'm going to love this year when a group of five team knocks off a power four. It's going to happen because parity is big time in college football. I'm going to love it. And when an FCS school knocks off a group of five or a power four, we're going to love it, man. Yeah. You're going to love that.
Have you noticed that the one thing that isn't brought up is, you know, because if you add 24 or 28, I mean, how many games are you adding to the season? If you're a team that goes all the way, I mean, you're playing, 15 games? No.
If not, 16? Maybe 16, yeah.
So now you're basically an NFL schedule.
Dabo Swinney has told his team they're going to be the first team to ever go 16-0 in college football.
Yeah. I mean, are we worried about that at all? Of like, hey, is that too much?
Yeah, right? Yeah. Then you're playing into February.
Right.
Remember, again, most teams' season ends November 30th.
Yeah.
Because they suck.
Right.
And then
they play 12 games.
They play 12 games.
Yeah.
And then the rest kind of spirit over through December. And then
I mean, I can tell you this. When I asked Greg Sankey about it, he kind of shot it down. But
it's the way you asked him, though.
The championship games are going away.
They have to.
Like, the coaches are going to demand them to go away.
Here's the argument again. You are Arkansas Razorbacks, Chase McCabe team. If you beat Georgia in the SEC championship game, you're in the playoffs.
Right.
So there's the 50-50 of that. These are all these questions. But they created this nonsense. They created all this chaos to go on to try to figure it out. They're going to have to figure it out. But right now, I mean, here we go. We spent all the time talking about games and adding games and, you know, matchups, which, you know, may or may not happen down the line. But leave it alone. Got to screw with something.
Matthew in Nashville, people who want the 24-30 team playoff model are like those obnoxious parents who want every child to get a participation trophy, and Sankey wants the entire SEC in it.
That's a great point to do that.
That's a good one.
The people who want 24 teams are the same people who will email you and say, hey, you got a quick second for a call?
Yeah. No.
No. There's never a good time for a call. It could be a text or an email.
There is a good time for a call on this show. Bob wants to weigh in on the college football playoff. Bob, what's up?
Hey, guys. You know, I was talking a minute ago to Joe when you talked about everybody getting in and equivalent. Got the playoffs. Reminds me of, well, I was a Pro Bowler. Well, you were a Pro Bowler because eight starting Pro Bowlers alternates sat out. So that's how the fifth quarterback you get in there. That's what it reminds me of. Is like, you know, you got in the Pro Bowl. You got in the Pro Bowl. Well, that don't mean anything.
Bob, you're exactly right. I remember Vince Young got in the Pro Bowl after 2006 because there were three or four of the quarterbacks who got out. That's why now if you're a Pro Bowl, it's like, yeah, who's out that you got in when you're like that? Great point.
Thank you, Bob. Appreciate the call.
Thanks, Bob.
That is true. 615-737-1025. We'll get back into the Titans coming up next. We're live at the Circa Sportsbook up here in Franklin, Kentucky at the Mint at Kentucky Downs. Chasing Big Joe, 1025. That was Greg Sankey at SEC Media Days with us talking about college football expansion. A lot of you wanting to weigh in on this. Matt says, could this be a segue into an NFL format with two conferences? I think it's getting there.
God.
For sure. Rob wants to make a comment on our phone line driven by WilsonKennyHoney.com. Rob, what's up?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
Hey, I really appreciate the show. Hey, a few weeks back when you were in Atlanta, you had a guy on. He was a reporter for the SEC, and he kind of went on and started whining about schools like Ohio State paying NIL money. And I just wanted to, it kind of felt like, wait a minute, if NIL is the reality, why wouldn't the SEC and the other schools in the SEC want to play by the rules, but still participate in that? And when you think about it, if you look at the top 15 to 20 schools last year in NIL money, they were all pretty close at $2.5-3 million. Within each other. So I was just saying that it seems that even if 20, 30 schools can afford to go spend a ton of money, you still need to be able to offer good coaching, a good culture, a place where players want to go play. And I still think that's the reality, even though NIL still needs to have some rules and process put to it.
Yeah, I would agree with you. Thanks for the call, Rob. Appreciate it.
Yeah, I mean, you pick on now it's money. Before it was like, you know, the coach, the atmosphere and the school, it all felt good. Now it doesn't. I mean, we got a kid in here in Middle Tennessee who's leaving UT as a recruit. He's going to go to North Carolina.
Yeah.
No, did you ever think you would see that? Hear that?
No.
NIL. I don't blame the kid to go get the most money.
I don't either. But, I mean,
that's what the reality is now.
I think gone are the days of a kid growing up. I grew up loving the Vols. I'm going to go play for the Vols. And they knew, you know, you could recruit them all you wanted, but all they're waiting is that one offer from Tennessee.
Yeah.
And that's where they're going to go. Those days are gone.
Here's the deal. If I'm an FCS coach or a Group of Five coach, and I'm Derek Mason, right? You play Wisconsin week two. I tell my team, guys, you think you want to play on this level?
There you go.
Here's your chance today.
There you go.
You didn't get recruited enough. You got overlooked. Here's your chance.
Yep.
Go out today and do it. And some middle guys have done that. And have gotten up to the Michigan State, Georgia Tech. Do that. The opportunity now is yours to go out and show that you belong. You're just as good. And look, Derek Mason, these Group of Five schools know if a guy comes out and has a fantastic year, he's gone.
Yeah,
they get it. But for that one year, they got him.
I will be curious because a lot of people have said you're not going to see as many upsets anymore, especially like in basketball. Because of the NIL, because all the best players are going to get the money and they're going to go to the best schools. I kind of wonder if they're going to be wrong on that because of what you just said of having some of those guys that maybe had gone to the bigger school, were overlooked, go to a Group of Five, and it's like they're trying to get back, so they're going to try and prove themselves even more, and you do see some upsets.
Yeah, it's funny. I just was reading earlier, like the starting quarterback for the Raging Cajuns is former Ole Miss, Wake Forest quarterback. Somebody, you bounce around, so you'll go find your option and find where your home is. There's nothing wrong with that. If they're offering you a little money, Louisiana did, and they wouldn't get it at Ole Miss, go do it.
Well, I was laughing when I went to that Vikings-Texans game, and I'm looking through the roster, and it tells where they went to college. And, Ty Chandler, for instance, it lists North Carolina, but I'm like, yeah, he was at Tennessee for a majority of his career.
Some of these guys have three, four – Cam Ward.
Yeah, had
three schools.
Incarnate Word, Washington State, Miami.
Miami, yeah. So it is, and I get the NIL part, and I get the money part, and the caller was correct, was about – go there where you can feel coach, your best chance to win, your best chance to get to the NFL. All that should factor into what you're going to do. Now it's about how much money you got for me. How much money you got for me?
What can you do for me?
Yeah, right?
That's how it is.
You know, like Clark Lee, a year ago, the Pavia thing, I'm not saying it's a problem, but now it's like, all right, added to what I got to get done now. I got to re-recruit my guys to come back and play another year.
Well,
I'm sure teams went after Pavia, other schools.
Yeah. Well, because I think they were paying, was it Deontay Johnson or who was the backup last year?
God, I don't even remember now.
He was the guy that they had paid to bring in, and then Pavia ended up taking the job.
Yeah.
So, that's kind of how it worked. But an interesting discussion for sure. Coming up next, Cam Ward spoke today after Titans practice, and L'Jarius Sneed is off the PUP list. We will discuss that. And actor Paul Reiser coming up at 2 o'clock. It's Chase and Big Joe live at Circa today here on 102.5 The Game. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game here on this Wednesday. We're live at Circa Sports in Franklin, Kentucky.
I'm getting attacked by my cord from my computer and my phone. How does that happen?
All I just hear is...
Right? Good Lord. And now it's all caught up under the power strip and just, again... This is why I would not be good on the frontier. Sit back.
Explain it again with those nuggies.
Probably not.
Now we got a buzzing cord and all this stuff.
It's all things that go wrong, right?
Yeah.
It's all good. We're still 2 o'clock. Paul Reiser is going to join the show. Paul will be up here September the 6th, named one of the top 100 comedians of all time. He'll be on the air with us here.
Yeah, we're looking forward to that. Of course, I was a big fan of the show Mad About You.
Funny show.
Back in the day with Helen Hunt.
Yeah.
So, have to ask him about that as well. L'Jarius Sneed off the PUP list.
Okay. See you game one. You ready to go? Let's see it. We're not going to see him practice much because availability. He's not going to play. God bless you, buddy. You're not going to see him Friday night probably.
No.
And then
probably not.
Probably not. Then you'll see him out there. Good. So now we could scratch one less talking point off the list. And go on.
We can just go back to talking about the scuffle fight from 3 days ago.
Yeah, and we'll see what kind of player Sneed is. If he can come in and contribute, they're going to need him in Denver. We're going to need him week one. So hopefully he's good to go, healthy, and can play his tail off against a team that he played quite a bit when he was with the Kansas City Chiefs.
We're going to need a bigger boat.
A bigger something.
Yeah. I'm sorry. This buzzing is bothering me.
That's okay. We're not the Busy Bee Studio.
There we go. I fixed it.
What was that?
It's your power cord.
How's my power cord affecting the buzz?
Because it was up against the mic cable.
Oh, okay. All right. Quick to blame.
Don't
you're like
do a dumb that hurt the team.
You're like a young Jeffrey Simmons just blaming everybody but yourself, man.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it was your fault, so blame it you.
Why are you holding your hands like that?
I'm trying to get a question in here.
Well, then ask the question. Don't. No, I'm just saying, like, you look ridiculous.
He had – Vrabel had one the other day, and a guy asked a question. He's like, are you asking a question or are you telling me?
I know.
And it was perfect because Vrabel was like, yeah, I mean, has he become the de facto laugh at coach now?
Who?
Vrabel. Hell, none of them have personality.
Yeah, probably. I mean, he does. I mean, it, like, at least he kind of tells it like it is.
Right. And I've never heard soft tissue.
No, that's
ever
his favorite thing.
Until, yeah, with David Long and soft tissues. Man, and who was the other one that got Christian Fulton?
Oh, yeah.
Soft issues.
He didn't like him either. And yet, I think, where is that guy now? He was the guy that strength and conditioning coach that he ended up firing. He's somewhere.
That Vrabel had?
Yeah.
Oh. They went, after Steve Watterson, it all became a blur to
yeah,
me.
Yeah, like, because Watterson was here forever.
Forever, yeah.
There were like two people that were with the Titans, well, really a lot, but two in particular, Haas and Steve Watterson, that I was like, they're never going to get rid of them.
Right.
Like,
for those who don't know, Haas was the equipment manager.
Yeah, and then Vrabel did.
How long you been here? 38 years. Beat it. Get out.
And I'm looking forward to 39.
Probably not. Yeah, I always go back and laugh if this happened when – Munchak fired Chris Palmer.
Yeah, on his birthday, supposedly.
On his birthday, right? And we laughed about Munchak putting like a birthday gift in his like, hey, real quick, come see me. Happy birthday with like, here's a new pen or something. And then Palmer comes down the hall and it's like, yeah, we're going to – it's my birthday. Here's a present for you. It's your severance. Get out of here.
Your key card. My key card didn't work. Oh, well. That's
remember
weird.
Remember getting hired? This is for those who just moved to Nashville. Look, we've been through some hell with this Titans franchise throughout the years. And when Mike Munchak took over in 2011, he hired some old buddies, and then he fired the offensive coordinator halfway through the season and promoted Dal Loggins.
Yeah.
And the thing was, and Dal's shorter than Dr. Crane. No offense, Dr. Crane. And the thing was, oh, if he speaks to the team, he's got to have a stepladder. And so word got back out to some of the Titans players that heard us talk about that and laughed. Have a good time with all
Dr.
of it,
Dr. Crane,
man.
Where is Dal Loggins now?
I'd say he's probably under a ladder because he's that short. Yeah. I don't know. That's a bad joke. I'm going to get back to producing.
He was at – wait, hold on. He was at South Carolina?
He was.
Then Mike Shula took over that job. He's a head coach somewhere.
He's a head coach.
Appy State.
Yep. He's the head coach at Appalachian State. That is correct.
They'll need multiple stepladders there to get him up there.
Hey,
to talk
he's
to
on
the
a
team.
He's on a stepladder to a better job, maybe.
But he's been – Dal Loggins was the OC here, then he went, like, to
the
Browns.
Okay. So his first ever coaching job was here as an offensive quality control coach.
What year?
08 and 09. He was a quarterback's coach from 10 to 11, the OC 12 to 13 – went to the Browns in 14 as the quarterback's coach, was with the Bears as the quarterback coach in 15, then the OC in 16, 17, the Dolphins in 18, the Jets 19 and 20, tight ends coach at Arkansas 21 to 22, South Carolina OC 23, 24, and is now the head coach at Appy State.
My goodness, all the jobs. And you want to know why I never became a coach? There you go. Yeah. I mean, you're just going everywhere.
He has stuck with it.
So he coached Manziel then in 2014 with the Browns.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
He was a quarterback at Arkansas. Did he
There's
start?
There's no way in hell
he
was
a
quarterback.
He played quarterback at Arkansas. 2000 to 2004.
Okay.
Right. He must have been backup.
Yeah, right.
He said He played college football as a quarterback for the Razorbacks, and that's it. That's all it says on his Wikipedia.
I mean, he was a great guy. There's no way he played quarterback in the SEC. I mean, he's shorter than Pavia.
Yeah.
There's no way. But that's just the amount of coaches that have come through here and the ups and downs with this team. So Fisher hired him. I saw a great upside scale, and I pulled him in here.
So you think about it. The head coach at Appalachian State and the offensive coordinator for the Pittsburgh Steelers both started as quality control coaches with the Titans.
Yeah. I mean, exactly. There's a lot of coaches that have come through in this Titans carousel over the years and like, oh, my, I didn't know that. And that guy's there. And I know he's with the Titans for a little bit. I mean, there's a lot of them. Been moving here since 97. You know, 99 was first year as the Titans. But a lot of coaches come through there. I mean, the OCs, you know, we could run down the OCs they've had. They're like, huh, what? Because you had Dow Loggins, and then Wisnett called his own plays.
Yeah, but he had what was that guy's name?
Jason Michael,
yeah.
Yep, because when Malarkey became head coach, Michaels took over for play calling.
Yeah.
And then
Terry Robiskie came in.
Terry Robiskie, and then 18 was LaFleur.
Yep.
19, 20, Art Smith.
Yep.
21 was the DUI guy.
Todd Downing.
Downing. I want to call him Dowling. Todd Downing. And then who was 23 OC? Was it still Downing? Did he have a career?
No, he fired him.
Wasn't it Dennis Kelly's little brother?
Yeah.
Yep, that's right.
Yep.
And now you got the OC is Callahan, despite what they tell you.
Fisher only had three, I think.
Steckel,
Dinger, from USC.
Norm Chow,
then Dinger.
I think that was it.
Yeah.
Yep.
And then Munchak
took over and had and Chris Palmer.
And let Dinger go because Dinger had gotten sick at that point.
That's right.
I think.
Yep. Yeah. He's fighting cancer. So there's been so many of these OCs that have come in here, and I didn't even start on the DCs. Gosh, there's no telling.
Yep.
Chuck Cecil will flip you off.
Yep.
Right on the Jumbotron and everything else.
Coming up next, we'll tell you what Paul Reiser is up to. He's actually going to be close to this area here in a few weeks. We'll do that coming up next. Chasing Big Joe live at Circa Sports in Franklin, Kentucky, 102.5 The Game.